Somebody needs to say hallelujah. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. This morning, God has put it on my heart to take special recognition that these last few Sundays to really deliver to you what He wants you to hear. Not that I don't do that every Sunday, but particularly to give you these last few Sundays some marching orders. Amen? So my topic is, do you always get what you deserve? Do you always get what you deserve? Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, beginning with the first verse. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. And when you arrive at that place in your Bible, say amen. Matthew chapter 20, beginning with the first verse. Amen. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and received a denarius. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last only worked 1 hour," they said. "And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" May God add a blessing to the hearing and doing of His holy word. Please pray with me. Lord God Almighty, if you can use anybody or anything, use me. Use me as a vessel of your customized message for each and every heart that's here today. That's the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you are communicating what each person needs to hear. And so we ask you, Lord, to speak around me, to speak through me, to even speak in spite of me. Speak to our hearts that we may not only hear, but that we may do. In Jesus' name, amen. One of Jesus' favorite teaching methods was using parables. By way of a contemporary story, Jesus would illustrate a life lesson. He would emphasize a divine principle or point to the appropriate action to take within a particular situation. But even with the repetition of hearing it, we can sometimes miss the meaning of a parable. If we attempt to analyze every detail of a parable and try to assign all the characters mentioned in the story, we may miss the main point that Jesus is making. With this parable, on the surface, it appears as if we have a simple dispute between labor and management. The ones who labored all day in the vineyard received the same pay as those who worked only 1 hour. As Americans, we can readily understand the argument. The owner usually pays what they believe is the value of the work, calculating total cost, and then emphasizing what the profit will be. The employee evaluates the job much the same, but with emphasis on the value of their work. But here in this situation, it was not a question of work value versus profits. Those hired at the beginning of the day believed that the promised wage was fair and agreed to work what they were offered. You know, before you enter into a contract with somebody, you make sure both parties agree with the exchange of labor for the certain amount of money. You see, they were not tricked or deceived into taking less pay for more valuable work. They received the amount for which they had been hired. The pay only became a problem when the first workers compared themselves to those last hired. The all-day workers were satisfied. They were content. They were happy until they saw the amount paid to those who only worked 1 hour. Have you ever compared yourself to somebody else? Somebody else's looks, talents, ability, income, marital status, car, house, or vacations that they take? It's the familiar rivalry of us versus them. Our Lord Jesus identified that ominous human propensity to compare our worth with other people's value. You see, it is our sin of selfishness that directs us to inflate our significance and to deflate the importance of other folks. When the disciples came complaining that other folks were trying to be Jesus' disciples and they weren't part of the group, these strangers were doing good ministry, but they weren't part of the original disciples. And Jesus said, "Those who are not against us are for us." In other words, everybody is welcome in the kingdom of God. We see it all the time, not here at Christ Lutheran, of course, but in other congregations that have trouble welcoming into their fellowship those who look or act differently. Too many churches shun whom they perceive have nothing in common with them. A large amount of members who wear solids reject those who wear stripes. Those who hail from a negative stereotype zip code, those with a dissimilar income, or those who speak with an accent are not readily invited in. Lord, have mercy. It's not that we don't want God to help those people too. It's just bless us first. Do you really want other people to be loved by God as much as He loves you? Do you really want the Lord to forgive her as much as the Lord has forgiven you? Do you want only your family's salvation and the rest of the world get in line? We talk often about the exceptionalism of the United States of America. We love our country first. Second, we determine what's in our national interest. And then we contribute to those who are suffering in the rest of the world. I'm just saying. I'm trying to understand those first hired in this parable. Why couldn't the first hired be happy for the last hired? They all got paid, right? Are the first hired just greedy and want more money? It seems that the first hired really think that they're better and deserve more. Well, the owner of the vineyard explains it this way. Why are you upset that I'm a generous person? The owner is saying there's nothing more to it than that. But the first hired don't get it. They don't believe that this employer is being fair with them. Those who worked all day deserve more pay. But there was no labor union to represent those first hired or any government agency to intervene. So they were stuck with whatever the landowner wanted to give them. I don't know about you, but that's my problem sometimes too. As I look at my life and when I'm dealing with negative situations and things aren't going according to my plan, I don't really think that God is being generous to me. In those moments, I become just like the first hired in the parable. I only want what I deserve. And I see those people that came late to the party being the center of your attention, Lord. When I compare their ethical lifestyle, they're still doing better than me. I believed in you for a long time. I worship you. I give up my time to help your people. I'm not asking for much. Just be fair. Only give me what I deserve. When I find myself in that deceitful and destructive mindset, I rush to change my thinking immediately. Lord, please don't give me what I deserve. Thank you, Jesus, for giving to me out of mercy, not my merit. Out of benevolence, not my belief. Out of compassion, not my character. Don't give me what I deserve. Lord, you have given me more peace than confusion. You've given me more healing than hurt, more forgiveness than punishment, more encouragement than criticism, more hope than fear. Don't give me what I deserve. Do any of you, do your prayers sometimes sound like you're demanding that God give you what He owes you? Did God promise you that all of your life would be like being at Disneyland if you follow Him? In fact, the same one who said, "Follow me," to the original disciples, "and I'll make you fishers of men and women," He said to all the followers after that, "Pick up your cross and follow me." Don't get it twisted. Do you sometimes appear the opposite with a pompous, superficial, pious attitude? You know, those people that are holier than thou, and they go around like this with their nose up in the air. And when they speak to you, they're looking down to you. Because they think they're better than other people. And they think, God needs to give me what I deserve. Don't you understand? If you and I got what we deserve, we wouldn't be here today. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. All of our efforts, all of our successes, all of our achievements, all of our happiness, our survival, and our very existence is because of Christ Jesus. Proverbs 16:9 reminds us, in their hearts humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. In Acts 17:28, Paul, the missionary in Athens, quotes a secular poet. In him we live, move, and have our being. In John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a person remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. It seems that we all suffer from spiritual amnesia from time to time. We don't remember who woke us up this morning in our right mind with a reasonable portion of health. Sometimes you and I don't recall that it was His grace. We have no memory when Christ bailed us out. Who do you think gave you that get out of jail free card? You don't even have to holler back because you know it's true. We don't call to mind when we were lost and the Lord came and found us. We forget who we are in Christ Jesus and who God is and what He's already done for us. You and I were bought for a price. The precious blood of Jesus. And our names are written in the book of life. When I look at my life's paycheck, I am clearly overpaid. The Lord has given me more than I've given Him. He's loved me unconditionally. And I've blown it. I've sloughed on the job. I haven't always done my best. Sometimes I'm just going through the motions and killing the clock, consumed and absorbed with my own agenda and goals on company time. I have not always loved the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I have not consistently loved my neighbors as myself. I'm not your agent or your labor advisor. But let me tell you something this morning. You all are overpaid. Go back to the boss and say, I'm sorry. You have overpaid me again and again. In my life, with my family, with my friends, with my home, with enough to eat, and all the extra amenities and the gift of eternal life. You are overpaid. When I was serving a church in Washington, D.C., I met a man named Benjamin. His men's group rented out space from our church. And the first time I met him, I asked him, how you doing? And Benjamin said to me, excuse me, Pastor, but you're asking the wrong question. Ask me how the Lord is treating me. So that is the way that we always greeted each other. How is the Lord treating you? And the answer was always the same. Better than I deserve. Better than I deserve. Think about it. Do you always get what you deserve? Amen.